Several agencies are discovering a new information source to help them make better procurement decisions. They're starting to grasp the real value of procurement data. Several agencies are asking the General Services Administration, NASA, and others for more details on what they buy, how they buy it, and if they could make better decisions. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, joins us with more. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, so agencies are thirsty for data. What kind of data are they asking for?
It feels like we've been talking about this data issue for years now, maybe even decades.
Now it's become a big data issue.
Exactly. Now it's all about the big data.
Next year it's a gigantic data issue.
Humongous data. We could go on. But I think right now what they're seeing is when it comes to procurement data, it's, hey, just give us everything and anything that could really help us make smarter, become smarter buyers. Let me give you an example. NASA is working closely with the Veterans Affairs Department to provide VA with an assortment of data points around things like energy efficiency, like, you know, are their IT products rated Energy Star or EPEAT level? How's VA meeting the Trade Agreements Act? You know, that says who you can trade with. Are you, there's a approved set of companies that you can buy that if your products are coming from, do they meet those, that, that, those agreements under those provisions under those act? Or even their buying habits based on specific product classifications. Joanne Wojtek is the program manager for NASA SUPE's government-wide acquisition contract. She says agencies are asking for and receiving this type of data because it's a sign of the maturity of both the GWAC providers, in this case NASA, and the agencies in understanding what's available and why the data matters.
I'm seeing that that's happening more with our contracts and with SUPE 5. A lot of what we're putting into that is to make us that more mature model that, that agencies can actually, we can't just, we won't just say we can do this, we're actually going to demonstrate to them things we can do. We're going to demonstrate, again, even though I might argue about the pricing transparency, we will be able to show agencies what they're buying. We're going to be able to track. We have VA asking us to track for them their energy initiatives and how they're doing with that. We're going to be able to provide them with more information. And again, we've always said we could do that. We're actually going to start doing that. I think that's going to make a bigger effect on other agencies to say, well, I don't want to use you because I'm not sure if you can give me that information. I'm not sure if you can control what we're purchasing. We can do that for them, and we're actually going to start showing that. So I see us having hopefully a better impact on people now that we've gotten to that point.
Now, Wojtek spoke yesterday at the Acquisition Excellence Conference in Washington, sponsored by GSA, DHS, and ACT-IACT. And along with NASA, the National Institutes of Health, which runs three different GWACs for IT products and services, also is determining how best to give agencies and vendors their best pricing data. Rob Cohn is the acting director of the NIH Technology Acquisition and Assessment Center.
Through our GWAC programs, we try to be as transparent as possible with ceiling prices on all the products, all the services that are sold through our contracts, so that agencies know what the ceiling rates are, and actually the other industry partners know what the ceiling rates are for their competitors. And we're also working on setting up dashboards so that customers can see what other agencies are buying, who's buying what, who they're buying it from, how much they're paying, to be more so that they can be more strategic about how they buy. There's been studies showing that one agency is buying a laptop for $2,000 and an agency down the road is buying that same laptop for $1,200. And why is that happening? And looking at how to bridge that gap so that agencies are being more strategic and government-wide is being more strategic about how they purchase and how they buy.
Now, Cohen says he hopes the pricing data will make it easier for agencies to use GWACs because they'll have more confidence in the prices they're paying. Tom, what's your favorite word? The dashboard, another one. Now, Cohen says only about 10 to 15% of all IT spending goes through GWACs. He says that percentage actually should be a lot higher.
You know, dashboard is used so often, I don't even know what it means anymore exactly.
I think it's just a way to present data. It's just a new, cool way. You know, before it was red, yellow, green type of, stoplight dashboards. And now this one is a different type. So
they used to call it management information systems.
Okay. Before our time, me and Emily, Tom.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, so we've heard the Office of Management and Budget talk a lot about this idea of people paying for products and services and knowing about that. What's the status of the Prices Paid portal?
Well, the Prices Paid portal was a very hot topic at the conference yesterday, but not everyone likes this tool. But before I get down into why they don't like it, let me tell you where it's at. Leslie Field is the acting administrator in the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. She says the portal is still in the beta or the pilot stage, but actually should reach that initial operating capability later this summer or even maybe early fall time frame. OFPP, if you remember, launched the portal last fall. The pilot used existing data sets as opposed to real-time data, just to ensure, hey, does this work? Can we make it? Does this make sense of what we're doing? Field says OFPP is ready to expand the prices paid portal so agencies can actually get use out of it. Now, this idea of understanding pricing actually is catching on across more agencies. You heard NIH's Rob Cohen talk about a new dashboard, while the General Services Administration is following suit as well. Chris Forniker is the director of the Center for GWACs and the Federal Acquisition Service.
We have recently set up a website it's on strategicsourcing.gov, that provides government employees with prices paid on 80 labor categories that are on the Alliance Small Business Contracts. And I hope is that they can use this at the program office level, that when they're doing what we heard earlier, the independent government cost estimates, they can be informed and understand what are the actual prices paid as opposed to just the ceiling prices on the contract. They'll be able to look at soon this coming month, another release will be coming out, which will actually show the impact of competition on those prices, which typically is 13-14%. We'll reduce those prices by 13-14%. And they'll be able to slice and dice it by whether it's in-house labor or by different areas of the country and by agency.
Now, Forniker says the data will also help contracting officers understand what is a reasonable price negotiation and what they should expect in terms of getting discounts from vendors based on volume buys and other reasons. Now, he says GSA has a long list of improvements for this portal in the next coming months, so something obviously to look out for. Now, not everyone likes the idea of making these price listings just on their own, out there, put them out there and say, hey, look at it. NASA's WoTech was quite outspoken yesterday at the conference. She says agencies could be missing the bigger picture if they only look at what the price is being paid for a particular product or service.
When usually we do data transparency, we show two prices, and the customer says, well, I should have been charged $1,200 instead of $2,400. It's like, well, because you ordered something different. And it's not easy to show that when you just show pricing and just say this is an average price or even anything of that nature. People get the wrong impression, especially with IT, when a memory component can change the price immensely. You know, the base price of a Dell is like $250, but nobody buys a $250 Dell because that doesn't get you anything. So, you know, if you happen to have all the components you want to build it yourself, yeah, I can buy it for $250, but you're going to spend maybe $5,000, maybe $10,000. It depends on how much you're going to put into it. It's configuration. It's what are you buying it with? What is the context of the purchasing? If that's not available when you're being transparent with this information, it's going to mislead people and ask for things that are either going to hurt industry or keep them from getting what they really want. And so I think you have to be careful about just jumping into just show everything and not provide the context.
Now, she says that industry rarely will give their best prices up front because they would lose their ability to negotiate, because there's some discussion yesterday about, well, industry can do this. Industry can get there, knows what the best prices are. But in fact, she says that's not true, and it's something that's a bit of a problem. Now, I brought up WoTech's concerns to OFPP's Leslie Field. Leslie Field says that OFPP is aware of those concerns, not just from NASA, but from other agencies, and is trying to address them around terms and conditions, making those terms and conditions more, apples to apples comparison, so agencies can look at the entire context, as Ms. WoTech was saying, versus making an apples to airplanes, comparison, because you have a computer, two computers, but all the terms and conditions are totally different, which raises the cost or lowers the cost depending.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. So if the data in the raw state that they describe, two prices side by side, isn't all that useful, what can be the goal for data?
Well, right, we keep talking about data, 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 but really what came from this conference yesterday in many regards is data is a means to the end, and then that end is those decisions that are being made based on a number of factors, and data being one of those factors. During a second panel discussion on leveraging data to make better decisions, the panelists say the data must be part of a broader-based discussion around outcomes. What is the government really trying to get for the money that they're spending? Paul Brubaker is the Defense Department's Director of Planning and Performance Management. He says the goal should be understanding, again, what agencies get for the money they spend.
The outcome discussion drives a different dialogue than what we've been having. The dialogue that we've been having is, what do we do with existing data? How do we expose it? How do we generate value? But we've got to drive some fundamental questions. And I think by focusing on the outcomes, you have to start looking at the structures and the processes that we execute in government, whether it's financial management, whether it's chief human capital officers, whether it's acquisition. And getting to the acquisition process, I think we've got to take some fundamental a fundamental examination of the process a lot more holistically than we have in the past, because it is complicated. And we have generated a boatload of complexity in the system. Or for those of you who are Lean Six Sigma people, there's tons of MUDA in the system, non-value-added activity.
Now, Brubaker says too often agencies are focused on the front end of the collection and not on what changes or business process improvements the data actually could lead to. Now, Karen Pica is a management analyst at the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. She says OFPP is leading an effort to address some data standards to actually help improve decision-making to lead to better outcomes. Pica says OFPP is recognizing that the data they were collecting over the last decade may not be the data that they need today to make those better decisions. So OFPP is looking at whether there are other data sets that are needed and different points to get those data to improve that decision-making process across the government. So I think obviously this is, we're in many ways just at the beginning stages of entering this new frontier of data and procurement data and understanding it. But there's a lot of challenges ahead. And I think, it's not an, again, because it's big data, as Tom said, it makes things more complicated because there's just so much data out there.
Well, the next thing I get with a dashboard on it's going to have paddle shifters. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor, as always. You were moderating a panel down there yesterday, too, weren't you?
I did that last panel on leveraging data. It turned out to be a pretty good one. We had a little, not controversy, but a little back and forth between Paul Brubaker and Christina Ho, who's from Treasury Department and is running the new USAspending.gov website. And, it was a good conversation about, it kind of veered off into not just data usefulness, but really what is data and how do we define data? And I think that's where this other piece came in from this earlier conversation on the GWAX panel that was earlier in the morning.